Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
First and goal at the Dallas 8. Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires, end zone.
Yeah!
Touchdown! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the bat out of the fire. 22 seconds left to play.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, yeah. How was everybody doing after that great time, the little match game show with John Rook? And it was that was hysterical, absolutely hysterical. But welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock tonight. A little bit different today on a Wednesday as Brian Lowe, the Football Fantasy Lowdown, comes your way for the next hour. So we'll be talking to Brian and getting your thoughts and fantasy questions and all that good stuff that we usually do on Thursday between 4 and 5. We're going to do it this week. Today, right now, between 4 and 5. And if Brian wants to stay longer, we can stay longer. It doesn't matter. We are running a few minutes late today, but that's okay. Always a pleasure. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium. Of course, you can always email us at webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. And also, you can call the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And Bilo, how was your week?
Good week. Interesting game.
Not the fantasy game we thought.
Fest.
The Buffalo Giant game was, but was, not yeah. this, but not certainly not yeah, the Patriots
the
Dallas
Patriots
game.
Dallas game. I don't think anyone expected it to be 20-16
no.
as a final, but Giants Buffalo was high. It actually was not as high scoring a week, I think, across the board. As some of the first few weeks, I don't know if that defense is starting to catch up with the offense a little bit or what it is. But
I think it's matchups more. I mean, Tom Curran and I talked about this morning at a little function we did.
Yep.
And it looks like defenses are catching up to the offenses, but I really think you have to look at the matchups to see what pathetic offenses are playing, what other pathetic offenses.
Right. And, Tampa, New Orleans, 26-20, there was some scoring there. Chicago had the most points of anyone this week. Probably a bit of a surprise there, but not a lot of not some of these astronomical passing numbers that we've had earlier in the season. And I got to be honest, I feel like this coming week is just looking on the schedule, there's quite a few games that kind of give you the not going to be a huge scoring game, not really a fantasy festival for me.
To me, there's one. I think Atlanta Detroit's going to be one of those. I think it's going to be up there.
That could be one of the few.
And I want to say it's going to be interesting how Detroit responds to adversity for the first time. Forget Shake Gate.
Yeah, we saw how Coach did.
Let's see how Detroit handles losing when, because they're not used to winning. So let's see how they handle. They are used to losing. So we'll see how they handle that.
Right.
What's another?
Yeah, I think Chicago-Tampa actually could be a higher scoring game, too. I think Jay Cutler is, believe it or not, getting into a little bit of a groove and has a pretty good matchup, too. Some of these other games, I think New Orleans is going to blow out Indianapolis,
yep.
but I don't think it's going to be a yep. high scoring game for both teams. Then there's some duds.
I think Green Bay, Minnesota could be, even though they're going to start a new quarterback. However, Green Bay, anytime Rodgers is in a dome, it's like Brady in a dome,
yeah.
it's almost unbeatable.
Yeah,
but they're going to put up a ton of points.
Right. And there have been some games where Green
yeah.
Bay has given up
yep.
quite a few points. So, it actually could be a game where Christian Ponder has an opportunity to, not have a stinker. I mean, I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think they're going to pass the ball a ton. Although Green Bay is pretty weak against the pass, it could be a decent matchup for Christian Ponder. However, he is not the quarterback that everyone's talking about this week.
I know what you're going to say.
We touched yep. on it a little bit last week, Tim Tebow.
Yep.
And I'm actually high on him. I really am. For this game. My thoughts haven't changed much from last week. I think he's a borderline top 15 quarterback for this week. I think he's a reasonable guy to start this week. Jury's out on if he's a week to week guy. But I just think that he's going to be a guy that in a lot of games, he's got one or two touchdown passes, probably a touchdown run, might even have a chance to limit the mistakes, maybe just not throw the ball a ton, not throw picks. That's obviously going to be the key because anyone will take a quarterback with, 200 yards passing, one touchdown thrown, mm-hmm. one touchdown rushing. You just got to limit those interceptions. So I think Tim Tebow at Miami, it's a great matchup from this week.
I do. And if you see how the Miami Dolphins played on Monday night, where they probably should have put up at least three touchdowns in that game and didn't because they couldn't get the ball in the end zone or turn the ball back over.
And I'll tell you, I
don't know if they playing for Tony Sperano's job or what. I don't know how. Who can figure the Dolphins out? And even without Henny, it doesn't matter. This is a game. You're right. I think Tebow could do some damage, and I think he could be put in some good field position.
No question.
Miami stinks.
Right. And I think Denver's defense is a good sleeper pick for a defense this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defense, a lot of times in fantasy football, if you have one really good defense that you draft, you don't even bother with a backup defense. It just might not be worth it. If you have Baltimore's D or something like that, it's just not worth it. But then you have to make sure you plan for that bye week. And in this case, you know, the teams that have a bye, well, it's Buffalo, Cincinnati, New England, the Giants, the Eagles, and the 49ers. It's not like those are great defenses across the board, but if you need one, Denver's D, I think, is pretty good. You saw what you needed to see out of Matt Moore the other night. He's not very good. He's not doing much for that team, throwing some terrible interceptions. And so far, they haven't gotten the running game going too much either with Daniel Thomas. He's had a couple of good outings, but I think Denver's D, it's Tebow and Denver's D, I think both are pretty good sleeper candidates.
And interesting, the Steelers' defense as well this week, even though in Arizona. I'm still not sure what the Steelers are all about yet. I know they look a little better. Technically, they have the number one defense in the league right now. Again, that net yard stuff, that is so important to fantasy football that I like to dismiss a lot of the times.
But
that could be interesting. That could be an interesting game in Arizona.
Yeah, and Beanie Wells, you know, before they had the bye week last week, Beanie Wells had been doing pretty well. I can't remember which week it was that he had three touchdowns and all that. He's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, you know, Kevin Cobb hasn't really gotten into a great rhythm. That is a good matchup, Beanie Wells against the Pittsburgh D.
They have Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. Early Doucette, who's coming on a little bit. He's become much more involved in their offense. So I think Pittsburgh's D is still pretty legit. Tough test for them.
Mendenhall, big game last week.
Mendenhall had a huge game last week. Mendenhall had a huge game, and in these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Isaac Redman and Jonathan Dwyer, the backups of Pittsburgh, and sure enough, Mendenhall, healthy, fresh, had a huge game. Three touchdowns, I believe it was, well over 100 yards. I'm sorry, he didn't have three. Who had three? Someone had three touchdowns. Oh, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Mendenhall had a touchdown, well over 100 yards. And I think he's going to have another big outing against Arizona. And, of course, that's a game Patriots fans are going to want to watch because that's the next opponent,
that's
Pittsburgh.
Right.
And so from a actual NFL standpoint, it's a good game for Pats fans.
Well, lots of questions I have for you, Brian, already here at webradio at patriots.com. Let's get to it. Manny says, hey, guys, awesome show as always. I got a couple of questions for two spots on my fantasy. First, it's my third choice of wide receiver or running back. I got Beanie Wells, Pierre Garçon, Eric Decker, and for my defense, I got Steelers, Raiders, or Colts. Thanks, Manny from Miami.
Okay, so the choosing one, it sounds like, out of these three, Beanie Wells, Pierre Garçon, Eric Decker, those are pretty good choices. If you only need one, hard to pass on Beanie Wells. He's done pretty well in recent weeks. I'm actually pretty high on all three of those guys. Pierre Garçon has become the number one receiver this year in terms of targets, and he's had pretty good production for Indianapolis. And yeah, I don't expect a ton out of Indy this week, but New Orleans defense is not great, and I wouldn't start Garçon over Beanie Wells, but in certain cases, I think Pierre Garçon's pretty good. And then Eric Decker, you know, very interesting situation now in Denver, multi-layered fantasy implications, because you got Tebow taken over at quarterback, and you know what that means for the offense. But Brandon Lloyd traded to St. Louis, which was, well, the second biggest trade of trade deadline day, but has huge implications for both Denver and St. Louis, and we can definitely get into that, but I think Eric Decker is the guy who is probably thrust more into the spotlight in terms of Denver wideouts. I still go Beanie. I go Beanie Wells over Garçon and Decker, but the other guys are interesting too.
All right. JC says, hang on. Hey, guys, for my flex spot, should I go Bolden or Graham? Also, what's the latest on Hillis?
Bolden or Graham? Why am I drawing a blank? Graham? Ernest Graham. Okay.
Yeah.
Bolden or Ernest Graham? Well, Tampa Bay against Chicago. Ernest Graham. It doesn't sound like LeGarrette Blount's going to be playing. And then Bolden, Baltimore's got Jacksonville. That's maybe a toss up for me. I might go Graham. might go Graham with that one. I think Graham, you know, generally, if I feel like it's a toss-up, I go with the running back because I just feel like more opportunities with the ball in that guy's hands. I'd probably go Graham. The latest on Hillis, I've been trying to monitor that over the course of the day because Wednesday.
Well, just talk to his agent because he decides everything he does. Yeah,
you know. Exactly. Well, that's a, you know, I'll tell you what, how quickly things can go downhill for a guy. You know, he was on the cover of Madden, which. Mm-hmm. We know what that often means. That often means bad
luck.
Kiss
of death, yeah.
Yeah, kiss of death. But, you know, this was a guy who was coming off the best year of his career, first round pick in a lot of leagues or second round pick, and he's got a hamstring injury. He missed practice on Wednesday, and it sounds like your best bet is to stay away from Peyton Hillis this week because, you know, the overall feel of Peyton Hillis in Cleveland is a major down arrow. He was on the trading block potentially. So Montario Hardesty is their backup. He was a rookie last year coming out of actually don't remember where he came out of, but he was a mid-round draft pick and has a chance to be thrust into the spotlight this week a little more so than he had been in the past against Seattle. It's actually a pretty good matchup for Hardesty, although I wouldn't feel confident with Hillis. If Hillis is your main guy, plan on him not being in the starting lineup. It just doesn't look pretty good for him. And, you know, he might be available on Sunday, but he probably won't be Cleveland's number one back.
Let's see. This is Toussaint Lin.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Okay. Hey, Pete and Bilo, love the show, guys. You do a great job. I have a dilemma this week. Brady's on a bye. I need to start a quarterback. I had Rex Grossman, but that isn't going to work. So I got John Beck and Carson Palmer off the waiver wire. Who would you start?
Well, those are the two waiver wire guys who are getting the most attention right now, but I don't really see it from a fantasy standpoint. I don't see it long term for John Beck and Carson Palmer. I've kind of gone back and forth over the last 24 hours. I can't see him being a strong fantasy football play this week unless...
Not this week.
Unless you really... Because the Raiders still haven't said who's starting. But honestly, when your choices are Carson Palmer, Kyle Bowler, or Terrell Pryor, you're probably going to end up going with Carson Palmer. And when you've traded potentially two first-round picks for Carson Palmer, you're probably going to throw him out there right away. But I question how much this guy really has been dedicating himself to football. I know he had vowed to never step foot in the Cincinnati Bengals locker room again, and you know he held his ground, and he's gotten traded, and he's in what actually is a decent position here long-term if he's dedicated to football. And you know, I think the Raiders, obviously they've gone all in on him. They have this year in mind, but they certainly have 2012 and beyond in mind. Carson Palmer absolutely should be claimed on every waiver wire because he hasn't played well in recent years. But if you're looking for a quarterback on the waiver wire, you rarely get a talent like him available. You've got to claim him. I just wouldn't be I wouldn't feel too good about him for this week. Then they have a bye. Maybe then.
Yeah.
Maybe then he's worthwhile. I just don't like it for this week. And as for John Beck, I mean, you know, they're playing Carolina. It's a chance for Washington to score some points. I think if they do, it's going to be by the running game. I don't think John Beck's going to do much. Stranger things have happened, but if you have to start one, Beck or Palmer, it actually probably is Beck for this week.
I think you have to go Beck. I mean, how can you expect Beck, Carson Palmer to come in and just...
At least Beck has been practicing with his teammates for the last few months.
I don't know if Palmer's going to play. I mean, is he even going to play Sunday? I don't know if he's going to play.
I think he will, but I'd have low expectations.
God, I still can't believe they gave up a first and a second round
pick. I cannot believe that
either. Well, it's the Raiders, so I expect
it. It's the Raiders, which is
something Al Davis, God rest his soul, probably would have done, but...
Yeah. What's baffling to me is Brandon Lloyd, who... I don't think Brandon Lloyd is, the second coming of Jerry Rice by any means. But this was a guy who led the league in receiving yards last year, and he gets a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
That's all Denver got for him. And the Cincinnati Bengals are getting potentially two first round picks, probably a one and a two.
How did the conversation went? Hi, Oakland, this is Cincinnati. We'll give you Palmer for first and second round pick. Okay.
Yeah. It shouldn't have taken long. And how desperate. I mean, Jason Campbell goes down with an injury. How can you feel so desperate that you give up? I wouldn't even give up 1-1 for him, but a 1 and a 2 is just too much for a guy who hasn't played well in a while.
Mike Brown with arguably the Derek Lowe and Jason Veritek for Heathcliff Slocum trade of the century.
Yeah, and now the Bengals have Andy Dalton, who's done pretty well and potentially is their long-term answer. And now you've got two first-round picks the next 2 years. Think about when the Patriots had the Raiders first-round pick mm-hmm. last year, and week after week last year, you've got this team to root
yep.
against.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bengals now for the next 2 years can, actively, as if they weren't already dismayed by Carson Palmer, they can actively root against him and hope for a higher draft pick. It's a great, great situation for Cincinnati. Such a questionable trade for Oakland.
Craig says, hey, guys, a couple of quick questions. Do you think Hightower or Terrain are worth keeping on my roster? Mm-hmm. Only have a five-player bench. Let's start with that one.
Well, unfortunately, they are both worth keeping right now. And, you know, this week, I expect Washington to run the ball a lot. Carolina is not very good against the run. John Beck is the starting quarterback. The one asterisk is you figure Carolina knows that Washington's going to want to run the ball. The problem in Washington is Hightower, Terrain, and even Roy Helu are all, none of them are the defined number one back. None of them are the week in, week out, lead ball carriers for Washington. But all three of them deserve a spot on a fantasy roster. It's just, you just don't know week to week. I think this week, they both could be decent plays in fantasy, Hightower and Terrain. If you had to pick one, I'd take Terrain. Neither one of them were impressive last week. No one was impressive last week as far as the Washington run game. But I think Terrain is probably the guy with a slight edge right now on Hightower. And, Hightower was back in practice. I saw he's closer to 100%. But it's just a mess in Washington.
This game, I just got a feeling. I mean, we talked about the Redskins, like the inconsistency last week, how it's tough in their offense. And I really think Carolina is going to beat the crap out of them this week. I think they're going to, I don't know what Washington's offense is capable of doing. I just know I think they're going to be playing from behind the entire game. Yeah. And that bodes trouble for them, I think. I think Carolina's going to whack them this week.
Yeah, Carolina has probably overall played better than 1-5.
Yeah.
We know that Cam Newton has done pretty well. No touchdowns, 3 interceptions last week, which is a tough one, tough game to be coming off of. But yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a made to order for Carolina to do pretty well, and for Cam Newton to do pretty well as well.
What do you think of Jake Ballard for a waiver wire pickup?
Reasonable. I mean, he's now strung together a handful of the Giants tight end, a handful of good games. He's got some touchdowns. I mean, again, it really all depends on who's on your roster, who are the other tight ends available. I wouldn't say that he's the best guy to pick up. It's actually been surprising to me, talking about Washington, Fred Davis seems to be available in a lot of leagues. And I think, sometimes when you look at a new quarterback for a certain team, the tight end can be the security blanket in some ways. I think Fred Davis, if he happens to be available in any leagues, is a guy to pick up. He could be the guy that John Beck looks to. And same thing with Vasante Shenko in Minnesota Christian Ponder. He could be a couple notches up on the fantasy listings. Jake Ballard is good. I think you might be able to pick him up and get another touchdown out of him, but it really depends on who else is available. He's not going to be your top 15 tight end, but he could be in that next year.
Do you think there's a chance Julio Jones will be playing this week? And if Jones doesn't play, who would you use for a flex spot? Hightower, a Terrain, Burse, or try to grab someone off the waiver wire?
Not sure on Julio Jones. Missed the game last week. They could certainly use him. I think he might be a game time decision, a dreaded game time decision. So I'd probably stay away from him for this week. Then I think, what do you say, Hightower, Terrain, or Burris, or take someone off the waiver wire? Burris against San Diego. I don't know. I just don't trust Mark Sanchez. Why would you? I don't think Burris is really a fantasy option. I'd go with one of those running backs. And as far as, off the waiver wire, I mean, that's a league-to-league kind of thing. I mean, it's so hard to tell. But I would look at tight ends. A lot of leagues you can't use a tight end in a flex spot. It's just running back or wide receiver. But one way to look at it, if you can use a tight end in a flex spot, there are a lot of good tight ends out there that are major parts of a team's offense. Benjamin Watson is another one who's gotten a lot of targets in Cleveland. And if you can use a tight end in a flex spot, think about the tight ends before you think about the running backs and wide receivers. You might get more opportunities. You really might.
Staying on the Julio Jones theme, Tony says, "Hey guys, I'm in the unfortunate situation that all of my key starters on buys this week. What is the status of Julio Jones for this week? If he's not ready to go, how do you feel about Harry Douglas?"
Harry Douglas, I thought last week would be a, you know, a chance for a breakout game for him. It just turned out to not be a big passing game for the Falcons. I think they ran the ball about 15 times more than they passed it. Matt Ryan had just 22 attempts. So Harry Douglas actually led the team in yards last week. He had 4 targets. I like Harry Douglas if Julio Jones doesn't play. What you could do is try to pick up Harry Douglas and, you know, decide, okay, I'm going to go with Julio Jones or Harry Douglas. They play on the same team. See who's active, see who's inactive. My guess would be if Julio Jones is active, he plays and probably is involved in the offense enough. And if he doesn't play, then definitely Harry Douglas is the next guy. That's not a bad position to be in. Have them both and see who plays.
We'll get more emails in a second and head over to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Our buddy Poker Mike is there with us. Hey, Mike.
Fellas, how we doing?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Is the reception all right? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
I'm actually down at the beautiful Foxwoods Resort and Casino as we speak.
Are you playing?
The 300 tournament was today, Pete. Yeah. So I just got knocked out.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
But
the good news is
I got all my notes. I haven't been by a computer, so I got all my notes on a little Keno card. Jotted some stuff down. I got the matchups and whatnot. So if I was still in the tournament, I had a little shady spot that I was going to take off to you know, wrap with you guys.
Good to know where the priority. Like it.
I mean, this is important stuff here. Am I wrong?
No, it's very important.
You're not wrong.
Unfortunately, I didn't really get a chance to listen to you guys for the first part of the show. So excuse me if I kind of go over stuff that you guys already talked about.
No problem.
But I mean, as I jumped on, you were not stealing my thunder, but talking about Washington, which is, I mean, a lot's going on, obviously, this week with the, you know, new acquisitions and, you know, actually some really good matchups this week. But, you know, what do you do with this Washington team? I'll kind of just, like, roll with that because you guys were just talking about it.
I told you my thoughts. I think, and certainly from a non-fantasy football point, I think they're going to get lit up. I think Carolina's going to whack them this week. So I don't know how useful Washington's offense is going to be at all. I think Carolina's going to smoke him. I think Carolina's going to smoke him.
Yeah.
Bad spot for that team this week.
I think Fred Davis is one guy that you could probably use and might actually be a strong candidate. Because we were just saying, you know, a guy like John Beck, he might utilize Fred Davis more, just as a bit of a security blanket. And he already, as it is, there's a lot of weeks where Fred Davis leads that team in targets anyways. I just think the running back situation, it's a tough one for me because I expect them to run the ball a lot this week against Carolina. Carolina not very good against the run. It's just a matter of who carries it.
Who's running the ball? That's the question. We everyone drank the Kool-Aid on Terrain. We've been talking about that for a week now. And where did it get you? You know, spending roster, roster spots on the guy.
Yep.
You know, I talked about the guy in my league that spent a boatload of money on him in our bidding, you know, process. And where do you stand now? You question whether or not you put this guy in the lineup.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Hightower?
Yeah.
You know, you still got the rookie there. So I don't know. It's hitting close to home because I have Santana Moss on my squad. And I don't know what to do. I picked up Reston. That was my pickup of the week. And I'm not sure whether I stick with Moss and just kind of hope that Beck with a decent matchup kind of comes around. Or, you know, go to a guy like Breston, who I'm not psyched about. I actually have him in one of my, you know, starts of the week because I think Kansas City is looking pretty strong this week. I think Castle's going to come around. You know, Blaine Bowe getting a lot of attention. And I think Steve Breston's actually a pretty good pickup this week.
Yeah, I'd go with Breston over any of the Washington wide receivers, no question about it. The Beck thing scares me, and not like Grossman had been instilling confidence to me in the wide receivers, but I'd stay away from the Washington wide receivers, and I can't say to stay away from the Washington running backs though, because I think there's going to be a lot of carries to be had in that game
as long as they don't fall behind quickly, which they could in this game. That's the problem.
Yeah,
because they have to throw to win. Washington has to throw to win. I think they're dead.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you that Carolina has a chance to win this game, but I still think Cam Newton is prone to throw picks.
Oh, absolutely,
and that'll keep Washington in the game.
We saw it last week. You got to figure in the good with the bad.
Exactly. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout. So I do think there's going to going to be carries to be had, and it's going to be Hightower or Terrain or Helu. But that's not good enough. We need to know, you know, you need to know who it's going to be. It would make things a lot easier if Tim Hightower gets ruled out, but it sounds like he's getting closer to 100%.
By the way, the word
he's probably going
to
play.
Word out of Oakland is that Carson Palmer is going to start.
Yeah.
I thought it said that he wasn't going to play.
Well, no. there are reports that he's going to start, but Hugh Jackson
Schefter on ESPN is saying he's...
Yeah,
he's,
everyone but Hugh Jackson is saying he's going to start. Yeah. And I think everyone can see through Hugh Jackson right now because, listen, I don't have high hopes for Carson Palmer this week, but you trade a 1 and a 2 for the guy, throw him out there. You know, just you might as well throw him out there. The fans are probably going nuts, eager to see
him. Play Kyle Bowler? I mean,
yeah,
no.
Sadly for Oakland, he is your best option, even though he probably met some of his wide receivers for the first time on the field today. So it's not a great matchup, but I think he's going to start.
They have some power, though. You can't say that they don't. That's a pretty well-rounded team, this Oakland team. I mean, these wide receivers, they're young, but, I mean, they have potential.
Yeah.
I think this is a pretty good spot. I didn't rush out to pick up Carson Palmer, but, you know, you really don't know which way this is going to go, and it's actually going to be really, really interesting to see. You know, they have the stud running back that they need. They have a mediocre defense, but, you know, they have Hayward Bay and they have Ford. You know, these are guys that, you know, are kind of coming into their own.
Yeah.
Like, we can see some pretty good stuff here from
them. Yeah, and my feeling is that Carson Palmer hasn't played in a while, hasn't played well in a while, is joining a new team, and there's going to be bumps in the road. Who even knows what kind of, I mean, supposedly he's been working out, throwing the ball a lot, but who really knows? So that's my instinct with that. But there's no question he's a talented player, and if he does have the kind of relationship with Hugh Jackson from their days together in Cincinnati that, you know, everyone sort of speaks about, then there is an opportunity here for him to succeed. You nailed it, Mike. They've got talent. They've got some pretty good wide receivers, some speedy wide receivers, a decent tight end, and a great running back. The makings are there for Carson Palmer to succeed. I just have my doubts that he's going to succeed right off the bat this week. They have a game this week and then a bye, and then who knows, but I don't see how he can be that productive this week.
Right. Well, just to give the folks out there some assistance, because I've kind of taken on this whole little waiver wire thing that we got going on. You know, it's the same thing. This week, not as much as, you know, the past 2 weeks, but, you know, here we are rushing to the waiver wire, you know, chaos in Dallas. Felix Jones goes down. You know, the big pickup of the week is the kid Murray. Not really fagged about it again, you know. We went with Brian Terrain.
Well, not if you saw him on the last drive against the Patriots.
Say that again, Pete?
Not if you saw him on the last drive against the Patriots.
Well, let's put it this way. It's either got to be him or Choice. And I'll tell you right now, Choice isn't the choice.
Right.
Because this, I don't want to talk negatively about him because he's still a young player also. But, you know, people are picking him up. And I just don't understand fantasy players running to the waiver wire for, you know, a starting running back goes down. They're not sure how long. Maybe it's a week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And they're picking these guys up and just, you know, wasting roster spots. Isaac Redman's the perfect example. He went for big money in my league off that, the bidding process. And what's he doing now? He's throwing Mendenhall his towel as Mendenhall comes off the field.
Yeah.
And that was just a wasted situation.
Yeah.
So, it's a hit or miss. We talked about Jackie Battle. I think that is a little bit more of a safer play, obviously, than picking up a guy like Murray and picking up a guy like Redman and not, even Terrain. What do we do with Terrain? Kansas City, we talked about, kind of making their move. They're looking much better. Thomas Jones, how much of a factor are we really looking at there? I think Jackie Battle is actually a pretty good play this week.
Yeah. I agree with you on Battle, but I think DeMarco Murray is a good play. I actually think that game, despite what we saw out of Dallas the other day, I think so little of St. Louis right now, and I think that game could be a blowout. St. Louis at Dallas.
Yeah.
So I think DeMarco Murray, St. Louis has the lowest ranked running defense in the league. I think DeMarco Murray is a strong candidate for this week. I think he's worth going after on the waiver wire. Listen, it's all relative. I'm not saying
it's an interesting matchup. Worst rush defense against the worst rushing team.
Yeah, that's
basically.
That's true. I mean, but
spot, you gotta like Dallas.
I like DeMarco Murray. I think he showed a little bit against the Patriots. A couple of runs. But you know, Felix Jones is definitely out. I think they're going to be running the ball a lot. I think they're going to be running the ball a lot against a bad team. And so I like DeMarco Murray. And you're right about Jackie Battle. I think it's a good opportunity for him. And this could be his breakout week. Again, it is all relative, but I think this could be a breakout.
Bradford
week
is supposed to start for St. Louis.
Yep.
What does that mean? Yeah, last week he put up decent garbage numbers at the end.
Right. Good yardage.
But three points.
Yeah. But I think the real interesting thing, and Mike, I'd like to get your thoughts as well on this, is the Brandon Lloyd trade.
Yeah.
Both from the Denver side and from the St. Louis side. I think with St. Louis, he probably immediately vaults into the number one receiver.
No doubt.
In St. Louis.
With the injuries that they have
and his familiarity with Josh McDaniels. Obviously, Josh McDaniels had to be involved in this move and give the seal of approval or his endorsement, because I don't think I never really think wide receiver trade in the middle of the year is a really smart move
a weird situation, right?
Yeah, and you know, you take all these guys that they've had: Brandon Gibson, Denario Alexander, Greg Salas, who's had some good he's had some moments, but Brandon Lloyd becomes the number one wide receiver. But what does that mean? I've been struggling with this. What does it mean to be the number one wide receiver in the St. Louis offense right now? I mean,
I didn't get a chance to check the injury report. What's Bradford's situation?
He's supposed to play.
He's expected to play, and obviously that's a big difference. You know, there's a big difference between Bradford and AJ Feely in terms.
He's in a walking boot, or he was yesterday, but he is expected to start on Sunday.
Yeah, he's expected to start. So. Yeah, you know, I think Brandon Lloyd does have an opportunity to step in and be successful, be productive for St. Louis and for fantasy teams right away. I actually do, but the caveat is, I thought highly of St. Louis's offense coming into the season.
Yeah.
I thought Josh McDaniels would be a perfect role for him. Offensive coordinator with Sam Bradford. They didn't have, not a great array of weapons, but a handful of number two, number three wideouts to work with, which I think is the right kind of way
to
do it.
They lost their heart and soul with that Amendola. I mean, he's
Amendola's
like their Welker.
Not,
I mean,
exactly.
That's so big, but they still have Steven Jackson. It could be interesting. I mean, it's the kind of game, it looks ugly for St. Louis on paper, but it's still the Tony Romo factor.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to throw the ball? How many picks is he going to throw? I don't know. There's something about this game that doesn't sit right with me. It seems too obvious. One of those that, I don't trust the Cowboys. It looks like blowout city. Everything you guys just talked about looks like it all stacks up against Dallas, except I could just see Steven Jackson whacking them for 90 yards right off the bat. They're trailing. Romo throws another pick all of a sudden. I don't know. This game is funky to me.
Yeah.
The game is kind of, because St. Louis now, they still have an opportunity. They could put out some points here. It's the Tony Romo factor. You don't know what you're going to get out of them.
You're right. Lloyd, it's quite a conundrum to me. I do think he has a chance to be successful and be successful right off the bat, but there's something amiss with that whole St. Louis offense.
And on the flip side of that, I'll just, because this whole Lloyd situation was something that obviously was a big deal this week. Look at Denver now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to beat up Tim Tebow and kind of go down that road, but because you guys already talked about him, this is an interesting situation in Denver. I mean, I actually have to completely agree with Brian as far as the whole Tebow thing goes.
Well, this week, yeah.
I think they're looking all right. I mean, I'll tell you right now, the Eric Decker owners, they just got a real big boost right there, and I think they're going to be pretty good. I mean, McGahee's kind of coming into his own. If Tebow makes his move here and Denver starts winning games, you're going to get some pretty good fantasy production out of it.
Yeah, this is a great week for Tebow, no doubt. You've seen Miami play Monday night. You see what they're all about. This is a great week for Miami. He couldn't ask for a better time. Plus, they're honoring his freaking 08 national championship team before the game.
Incredible.
The whole crowd is going to be horrible Miami fans anyway. It's a terrible stadium.
Right.
Now the last 5-10 years, they really are bad fans. I mean, they're total fraud.
And they might be getting to the point now where they want to root against their own team and get luck.
Tebow is going to get tons of applause in this game. Tons
of
cheers.
Support,
yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be basically, it's going to be like a home game.
But I don't know. I'm not so sure when there's a, you know, a real team out there when he has to play. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we said, it's always tough just throwing guys in that are just kind of on like mediocre squads. And I tried to do it during my draft this year, you know, draft guys from good teams. And unfortunately, I drafted half the Philadelphia Eagles squad. And when I first got going, we didn't. But they're still powerful. Right. But these, just, you know, the St. Louis's, the Denver's, you know, even a team like Cleveland that's kind of showing some promise. You know, I was going to mention the wide receiver Little. You know, he's a sleeper this week. We know he had a pretty good matchup there. But you know, you just run that risk with these, you know, mediocre squads. And you just don't know what these guys are going to do every week. You know, they're just not everybody can be the Patriots. And we'll end it on that note. Yeah. The Pilgrims call my name, fellas.
Yeah, you got bigger.
Right,
you got bigger fish to fry.
Have fun.
Make a move.
So I won't see you tonight. I'm taking it.
No, I just went down. I got the crew down here.
All right.
We're gonna try to do some damage. So.
All right. Good luck, my man.
Good luck down there.
You.
All right.
I'll talk to you this week, guys.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks. Poker Mike checking in with us. Before I take a break, let me get to one more quick email. I think there's some funky matchups. I mean, really. I mean, Kansas City. I'm intriguing. I just think it's a tough week for you guys, for you fantasy people.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
Looking at the schedule, this is not a great. I don't have a great feel for this week yet. There's some games that are going to be a little. It'd be interesting to see how they go.
I think Atlanta Detroit's going to give you some numbers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I got a feeling there. And
I think, you know, Houston Tennessee is a very interesting matchup too.
Yeah.
Two teams that are well in the fight, that are going to be in the fight all year. You know, Hasselbeck has been doing far better than anyone would have thought, both fantasy and otherwise. And you know, they lost Kenny Britt early on. Nate Washington has kind of stepped up a little bit. They're trying to figure out, is Damian Williams a reasonable candidate there? And then obviously Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Will he? Okay, they've had their bye. He's gotten all his bad games. You know, has he gotten all his bad games out of the way? And now he's fresh. He's you know, he's not rusty. He's had from a layoff or from the lockout and holding
still
out.
Still averaging 3 yards a carry,
Is now an opportunity for him to get into a groove? Is this first game back? You know, against Houston, an opportunity for him to start getting those wheels going, and then from the Houston standpoint, they're still going to be without Andre Johnson. You know, Arian Foster. What exactly is going on with him? You know, he didn't have a ton of carries last week. Ben Tate had some. Is Kevin Walter? That's actually a really interesting game. Maybe an underrated interesting fantasy game as well.
JC says, got one more question, guys. Defense, do I start Titans, Broncos, or Saints? Also, how do you feel about Newton and Smith versus Redskins D this week? Should I sit Smith and Bolden? Or sit Smith for Bolden? Appreciate it. Best show in town.
Well, on the defenses, Titans... Was it Titans, Broncos, or
Titans,
Saints?
Titans, Broncos, or Saints.
Titans, Broncos, or Saints. I do like the Broncos.
I think you have to.
Yeah. Not the Saints. I don't think you should start the Saints, even against Indy. I'd stay away from them. I'd go the matchups. Titans, no, against Houston. Just too much of a chance of Arian Foster going off.
I think the obvious one here is, bro. You have Miami is playing terrible right now.
Playing
this
terrible.
Is going to be a homecoming for Tebow.
Yep. And you're going to have Denver's defense might have four interceptions in that game. The next question on him was.
Which about Newton and Smith versus Redskins D this week, or should I sit Smith for Bolden? I wouldn't. I love that matchup this week with Smith and Newton.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say start both. You know, Newton, I do think he's going to have a couple of interceptions, but that shouldn't affect Smith. He'll still get his balls thrown his way, and I bet Newton has huge yards again and a couple of TDs.
Hey, Pete, I need some advice from the brightest guys in the world. My backs are Law Firm and Wells, but Law Firm is on bye, so I'm hesitating between Thomas and Hightower. Who should I pick? Tony Joko should play with the New York Jokes.
Well, Daniel Thomas, I assume, is the question.
I'm assuming.
Well, you know, you probably have to go with Daniel Thomas, even though I've been saying all show that Denver's defense is a good D to go with. I think Daniel Thomas will be the number one back for Miami in this game. Could get some yardage. I'm more thinking when I'm endorsing the Denver D, I'm more thinking about the pass defense being able to make Matt Moore. I think Matt Moore's terrible, and I think they'll be able to really force some bad passes out of Matt Moore. You know, so I would go Daniel Thomas instead of Hightower. Too much shakiness in Washington, as we've been talking about.
All right, email us at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Quick break. It is the Football Fantasy Lowdown, a special edition on a Wednesday here with Brian Lowe. Right back with more of your emails and phone calls right here on patriots.com.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. We're here until 6, a special edition of the Patriots Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe, who's here today for a little while longer. More emails. Like Lyndon in Georgia or California says, I'm playing a game where cumulative score counts, not week-to-week score. Who do you think will score more points for the remainder of the season, Michael Vick or Philip Rivers? A couple things to keep in mind are that Vick has his bye week this week, so he'll take a zero. Rivers has already had his bye week. Also, scoring is pretty standard other than the fact that we don't lose points for fumbles or interceptions.
Well, I think Rivers is safer there. I think... You know, he hasn't had a great start to the season, not a lot of touchdowns, but I think that team's going to get rolling. They usually do. They usually start slow and end strong. And I think Rivers to Vincent Jackson hasn't gotten going too great, other than really when they played the Patriots. And Malcolm Floyd will be, once he gets healthy, hopefully Antonio Gates for them too. I think Rivers. I know Vic carries with him a lot of flash and dash and more running and all that, but it's a good question. I'd go with Rivers. And that bye week thing, is I guess one small factor. I guess it's one tenth more because there's only 10 more weeks. So I would go Rivers. I go Rivers over Vic in that situation.
Let's see what else we got here. Again, email us at webradiopatriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Let's see, I think we got all of them right now, but certainly room for if you guys want to call us as well. You can email us or give us a call at the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And while we do have just a little lull here, I've got to say congratulations because on your upcoming nuptials.
Thank you, Pete.
Coming up this weekend.
That's right. Well, I came in here on
it's
Wednesday.
Great how you did it during the bye week.
Yeah, I called in a few favors. Roger Goodell, Robert Kraft, hey, can you schedule the bye week around
Roger
my wedding?
Dodger, it's me, B-Lo.
Yeah, it's me, B-Lo. Come on, man. Do this. Just this one favor for me. It's great that it's the bye week and not going on a honeymoon right away, so not missing any full weeks. I hear you are, though.
It's funny.
Is that true?
And we didn't plan this at all, but yeah, so I'll be off next week because I am leaving for Jamaica on Monday because for my nuptials, which will be a week from this Friday.
Fantastic.
In the beautiful island of Jamaica, man.
I love it.
I can't wait.
Well, congratulations to you and thank you for,
you too.
Thank you very much.
It'll be great.
And, getting married on Saturday and, waiting on the honeymoon until after the football season. So, I'll be back in here next week. Not sure exactly what the full radio schedule will be, but we'll be back at the normal hours for the fantasy portion of the radio programming, 4 to 5 on Thursday. But a brief hiatus this weekend to get the ring on the finger.
Yeah, the coming back on Sunday night when the Patriots playing Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah.
So I have to do everything I can. Obviously, I'll be taping the game. I have to do everything in my power not to hear the score. I mean, usually the pilots announce the scores else.
Yeah, you might have to.
The only thing I can take with me is bathing suits, a few things, and my DVDs and my movies.
I'm
going to be totally distracted on the plane.
Good time. So, there you go. Just keep the headphones on in case if the pilot starts to say anything, just put those headphones against the ears and keep it down. And I won't text you or call you or anything.
No, my phone won't be on anyway. My phone come because we're leaving early in the morning on Monday morning, very early. So my phone will be off for the entire week.
Well, there you go. There you go. Keep put football aside for a week, and that's what I'll be doing for the weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple more questions here. Let's see. Todd says, guys, please help me set my lineup. First, I will list the guys my team marking my slotted starters in bold. Keep in mind, one play in a one PPR league, one start, one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one flex, running back or wide receiver. I only have one tight end, Witten, and I won't bore you with kicker or DST.
Thanks.
Quarterbacks, Stafford versus Atlanta or Hasselbeck versus Houston?
Gotta go Stafford. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hasselbeck has done very well, and I think Hasselbeck will have a good outing, but, you know, the guy that throws the ball to Calvin Johnson is the guy you have to start.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Megatron.
And Atlanta has given up points. Yep. No question about it. That's Stafford.
I think that's the high scoring game of the week.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Buffalo and the Giants last week. For me, was my high scoring. This is one of them.
Yep, I agree.
Let's see. Running backs, Rice at Jacksonville, Steven Jackson at Dallas, Jackie Battle at Oakland, or Moreno at Miami?
Well, eliminate Moreno. It's Willis McGahee now, all the way. So eliminate Moreno. It's really between Rice, Steven Jackson, and Jackie Battle. And I'd probably go Rice and Steven Jackson. I think mm-hmm. Jackie Battle could be pretty good. Now, Steven Jackson, I know you said you can envision a scenario
Dallas can't stop anybody, and I just don't trust Romo.
They've stopped the run okay. I mean, we talked about this last week, and the stats. Yeah,
I mean, against those running backs, the Patriots rushed for over 100 yards against them.
The Patriots rushed for 100 yards. They didn't score a rushing touchdown, and it wasn't like a methodical running the ball situation. But I would still go Rice and Steven Jackson. I think those are the two there.
And then wide receivers, Jennings at Minnesota. Vincent Jackson at Jets, suck. Santana Moss at Carolina. Greg Little versus Seattle.
Well, it sounds like he has to start two wide receivers, and to me, no question, it's Greg Jennings and Vincent Jackson among those. But then for the flex, because he did say he has one flex running back or wide receiver, so that would come down to Jackie Battle or Santana Moss or Greg Little. I'd probably go Jackie Battle for the flex. Mm-hmm. I don't like Santana Moss this week. We've discussed that at length, the Washington passing game. Greg Little is, you know, he don't overlook Greg Little. He's been really leading that team in targets many weeks. They play Seattle. I think he could be a sneaky guy this week. Colt McCoy goes to him quite a bit, but I'd go with Jennings and Jackson as your starting wideouts and Jackie Battle as the flex.
I have concerns over Steven Jackson versus Dallas D. Vincent Jackson on Revis Island and Moss with the Washington quarterback situation. I'm set rolling with Stafford, Rice, and Jennings. Who would you guys play at running back, wide receiver, two, and flex?
Those are basically the questions we just answered. Yeah. I understand Vincent Jackson against Revis, but I do think that Revis, in a lot of cases, I mean, we saw with Welker, he was on Welker most of the time, but not all of the time. And I think Vincent Jackson's going to get the ball thrown his way a few times and make a few catches. Does he have a touchdown? I don't know, but I still like him better than Santana Moss or Greg Little.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And Baltimore-Jacksonville, again, that's another tough one because Flacco's another one in certain situations.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't look that good.
No.
There's something about that Baltimore team that just doesn't – I know, you know, good defensive effort at time. I know the numbers look good on paper, but I'm also looking against who they played so far, type of situations they've been in. Jacksonville last week, I thought they'd play tough against the Steelers.
Yeah.
They did, even though Pittsburgh looked like they were going to win that game 40-0.
Yeah.
Really.
17-13 it ended up being.
17-0 they were ahead, and it was a close game.
Well, Ray Rice, I mean, that team is Ray Rice. That offense revolves around Ray Rice. He's their leading rusher. I think, a lot of weeks he's their leading passer, a leading receiver as well. So that's good. I did just see, because we had a few questions about Julio Jones earlier, that he did not practice today. So it's still early enough in the week, but definitely for those people asking about Julio Jones, I'd play it safe right now and not start him and go after Harry Douglas if you can. But you know, not a final ruling on him yet, but he didn't practice. So.
You can still email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the East Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And again, Pete Shepard here with Brian Lowe, the football fantasy lowdown for a few more minutes. And then we are just, you know, we'll take a quick break and come back. And I'm thinking about doing something about what player do you hate the most that's not a Patriot? Mm-hmm. And what player do you love the most that's not a Patriot?
Hmm.
Kind of, I don't
interesting
know.
Interesting question.
It's
good bye
week. Yeah, it's good bye week crap. Question. You know, it's all that stuff.
Yeah,
can't really look ahead to the steal. I think if you're a Patriots fan this week, I think you should watch that game. If you can, I'm not sure if that's a game that's going to be showing. If you have Red Zone Channel, obviously you can see a good chunk of it. But to me, that is an interesting game from a Patriot point of view to see how the Steelers go on the road and play. Because I still can't really figure out the Steelers yet, what they're all about. They seem like a mediocre team at best. And I know the Patriots have had their number. particularly when Brady's a quarterback. I mean, Matt Castle arguably had his worst game of the year against the Steelers that year. I don't think he lost another game after that. He was really good after that.
The Patriots have gone into Pittsburgh and done pretty well. They've handled Pittsburgh here. 2007, they handled them. So I think the Patriots will have, I expect them to win that Pittsburgh game. But, yeah, Pittsburgh is a hard team to read. You know, just when you thought Roethlisberger was going to be banged up and not be productive, he throws 5 touchdown passes two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mendenhall, just when you think he's...
last week in the second half, Roethlisberger just doesn't... I mean, just doesn't look good. Mendenhall having the game he had, they might have lost that game.
Yep. And, you know, I think Mike Wallace is a great wide receiver, but, you know, hard to say what else they have there that's been productive. And, yeah, they're a confusing team to figure out. And I think it's an interesting matchup against Arizona this week because, you know, Arizona has not been great, but they do have a chance. Arizona with Beanie Wells, running the ball well and some improvement in the passing game, I think they have a chance to do a little bit of damage against Pittsburgh.
All right, my friend. Well, I think that's going to do it. Went by quick as
it always does.
As usual. Thanks again, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
We'll see you in a couple weeks, and I think we got a lot on our plates the next couple weeks. But,
absolutely.
But we'll be keeping an eye. Do not worry. I'll be keeping an eye on fantasy football. No question about it. Hopefully, my fiance isn't hearing this, but my eye will. We're getting married on Saturday night, so Sunday I'll have some chance to get a sense of what's going on in football. So. I won't be turning a blind eye completely to football.
That is not what you should be doing on Sunday, sir.
Maybe I'll have some other activities. maybe I'll have some other activities.
I pity you,
I
sir.
Owe it to the listeners of the Fantasy Lowdown to pay attention to football.
Sure
I do.
Do.
I do.
You're absolutely. Well, mazel tov
hang
to
on.
You, mazel tov to you, my friend.
Thank you. And I will be paying attention to my own fantasy team, so that's important to me.
All right. Great.
Hey, thank you, Pete.
All right, enjoy. We'll congratulations to you, and yours. All right, quick break here on the Pete Shepard Show. We're here for one more hour, believe it or not. Actually, no, there's one more question, Brian.
Oh.
Do you mind?
Let me get the head.
One more question before we take a quick break. Yeah. Might as well. Lyndon has another question for the same format as previous question, cumulative score. What combo do you like for the rest of the season? Rodgers, Jackie Battle, Ravens D, or Rivers, Chris Johnson, Green Bay D?
The first one. So it's Rodgers, Battle, and Baltimore D versus
Rivers, Chris Johnson, and Green Bay D.
Yeah, obviously the big one there is the Chris Johnson versus Jackie Battle. Rodgers, Rivers, give me Rodgers for sure. Mm-hmm. Rodgers is number. Rodgers is the guy.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Green Bay, as far as defense, give me Baltimore. So I think you got those two, Rodgers and Baltimore. Then, so far we haven't seen much out of Chris Johnson. I do think he's going to get on track, but I think Jackie Battle's going to have the opportunities. I don't know that there's going to be this massive gulf between what Chris Johnson's going to give you and Jackie Battle. But even if there is, I think you got the quarterback difference in Rodgers, and you got Baltimore's D, which is probably the most consistent week in, week out. I'd go the Rodgers Battle Green Bay one.
All right, Brian, good luck, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, again, email us, webradiopatriots.com, or email me. I'll be back for another hour live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. It is the Pete Shepard Show. Also, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. A little homework for you, but while you're thinking about it in the break, tell me the player in the NFL. This is, you can't pick a Patriot for either one of these answers. The player that you hate the most and the player that you like or respect the most in the NFL. Give me that. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Pete Shepard Show until 6. Also, maybe hear from the coach. We have some other sound from the locker room today as well. We'll get to that. All coming up on Patriots.com.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at autotrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Ah, deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Yeah, welcome back to hour number two of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. It's becoming like a cult following of that, especially the opening of the second hour. So anyway, so I just posed a question out there. We're going to hear from head coach Bill Belichick from earlier today in just a little bit. But I'm just posing the question out there. Since it's the bye week, and you know, there's a lot to talk about next week about the Steelers, even though, like I said, I'm not going to be here next week because I'm off to Jamaica to tie the knot. But Someone will be here, not sure who, but someone will be here. But so tell me the player in the NFL. Again, this, you can't pick a Patriot on either of these questions. Tell me the player that you most respect or like in the NFL, and tell me the player who you hate the most in the NFL. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, and you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And right away, Manny says, well, Pete, the player I would love to be, I would like, would have to be Andre Johnson. Never talks trash, just goes on the field about his business, plays the game the right way. On the other hand, the player I mostly hate would have to be Terrell Owens, even though he's not in the league right now. Always has been selfish, even after he played with the greatest wideout of all time, Jerry Rice.
He would have thought, me, trade me, release me.
You would have thought he was going to be a great player. What a great disappointment. The only thing I'll say to that is, I still remember being in Jacksonville for the Super Bowl, and I never thought that he would have the game that he had. And I believe it was over 100 yards of receiving that he had in that game. I remember he had the banged up leg or knee and wasn't supposed to play. And there's all this talk and yapping. And I tell you what, he delivered. He delivered in that game, even though thank goodness the Patriots won, but he did show up for that game. JC says, Pete, I hate Suggs. Just talks and talks and should be more worried about his own team. I love Larry Fitzgerald. Classy guy. Unbelievable athlete. Okay, that's acceptable. That's good. Those are good ones. Tiff from Wisconsin says, hi, Pete. Tell Kevin that I love the Nirvana. I sent an email during the playbook, but I don't think John read it because of Game Show Wednesday. Hear that, Kev? Did you hear that? Tiff says, tell Kevin I loved the Nirvana. I sent an email during the playbook, but I don't think John read it because of Game Show Wednesday. He's nodding. I can't name just two players. Players I hate the most. Brett Favre. He's out of the league. LaDainian Tomlinson. Rodgers. She hates Aaron Rodgers. Fitzpatrick. And Santonio Holmes. Players I love the most. Freeney. He's gorgeous and really good coming off the wedge. Woodson. He's also gorgeous and a good guy. Calvin Johnson. Great future New England Patriot. And in the Damacon Sue, great future doing the Patriot. Congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. I wish you the best of luck. Thanks, Tiff. See, with the girls, it's always about, you know, why are we always a victim? Why do you have to, you know, why is that, Tiff? As a man, I'm offended by that. I'm just kidding. We're just objects, you know. We're just playthings. Chad says, hey, Pete and Kevin, there's no question my favorite player outside the Patriots, I've said it since day one, is Jared Allen. The mullet force is just unbelievable. The best pass rusher in the league. He goes against the best left tackle in the game. He's a disruptive beast. He sacks, stops the run, picks off the quarterback. He's a funny dude. Funny haha, funny strange. Only Chad would know. Can't believe he's being treated like dog doo-doo by the media. The player I hate the most is a tough one because I hate all the Jet players, but I'd say Mark Sanchez, who is such a disgusting bust, and Tony Choco. I don't like Choco. I hate his smirk smile, his crybaby voice, and says stupid things. It's been 5 years. He's repeating that this team is going to grow and get better. He reminds me of Brett Favre. Oh, he also said that this team's going to win a Super Bowl soon last week, remember?
Ball felt good. That ball there had silicone on it. Man, it was some tight pants you got on.
Chad also Facebooked me with a different message. That was actually the same. I'll read this one, too. It's the same Chad. Pete, to tell you how Jared Allen is actually the reason why the Vikes aren't completely sunk, that touchdown Peterson ran in the end zone with great field position was because Jared Allen sacked and stripped the ball off Cutler's hands. If Allen stepped up, he does every time, the Vikings wouldn't have scored a touchdown against the Bears. Yeah. Bears had the Vikings' number. They do. Last few games. I'm trying to see some of these other than me. I do want to, also, before we hear from Bill Belichick, I do want to say a shout-out this morning to Michael Smith, who's a friend of mine. Met him through Facebook, and he used to call the radio station all the time when I was at EEI. He is the general manager at the Algonquin Club of Boston, and we just had... stayed over there last night, had a spectacular conversation with him about, you know, sports and everything else. Fun stuff, incredible food. And this morning, Tom Curran and I were on a panel of a business sports seminar. Greg Dickerson was supposed to be there as well, but he had a personal situation and couldn't make it with his family. But Tom and I had a lot of fun. We met a lot of interesting people, a lot of cool people, and just answered a lot of questions about sports, a lot of Patriots questions, obviously. And we answered them as truthfully and entertainingly as we could. It was a great time, and I want to thank Michael Smith, the GM over at the Algonquin Club of Boston, once again for putting on a great show. It was a great one of those brunch seminar things that just went really, really well. And Tom and I had a great time. And you know how Tom is. Tom is a little, you know, he's a little kooky. So, and I love Tom to death. He's one of my favorite people in the media. We have a great time, and I hope all everybody did too, and hopefully we'll do it again in a few months in the spring. But thanks again to Michael Smith and everybody at the Algonquin Club of Boston who was there this morning. Had a great time. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Call me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And Marco Blunt was there early today as well. Remember, he played for Boston College. And great player at, where did he play? Lincoln Sudbury, I think he played high school, if I remember correctly. Great player there. Played at BC in the Dan Henning years and linebacker and still looks like he could step on the field today. I know he played in the Canadian Football League for a little while, but really, really good guy. Web Radio, Tony says, Pete, I hate equals Santonio Holmes. I just hate his face. I want to punch him in his effing head. Player I like, Rivers, all because of his heart and toughness. He displayed in the 2007 AFC Championship game. Absolutely busted up leg and an arm and all that stuff. So, again, I'm trying to figure out what player is hated the most by you guys out there and which player you love the most that is a non-Patriot. So email me, webradio@patriots.com, Facebook me, also at Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. And you can also call me on the East Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Right now, though, let's go hear what head coach Bill Belichick had to say earlier today.
All right. I think it's a big news day here for us. Just bye week, practice yesterday, you know, practice today, see if we can improve in a few areas, and give the players an opportunity to get some rest, relax a little bit, get away from football for a couple of days, and come back, be ready to go against the Steelers. So, it's the story here.
Yesterday, it seemed like you did a blue and white sort of scrimmage. Was that seem like a different sort of approach than what I recall in years past? Was that just to lighten things up?
We wanted to work on a few things, so we divided the team so we could do that.
Which side
won? It really wasn't we did a lot of different situations, so it was more of a situation game.
In the past, in
mid-season
scrimmage?
Yeah, sure.
When you send your players into bye week to get a couple days off, how much do you want them, how much do you want their heads still in what you guys are doing and getting ready for the game after the bye week, and how much do you want them to actually take a break?
Well, I'd say the majority is to take a break. I mean, we're into it yesterday, we're into it today, and then we'll take a break and, you know, come back re-energized, hopefully refreshed, rested, and ready to go. So hopefully we can take advantage of those couple days to get some things out of the way that have piled up on all of us. Like I said, get some rest, get treatment, get some bumps and bruises taken care of, and come back with full tank energy.
How much of a break do you allow yourself to take, or do you not take one at all?
No, I'll definitely take a little bit of a break here in the next couple of days, slow down a little bit, see if I can get caught up on some of those same things I just mentioned.
What are you going to do? Do you have some treatment in?
Yeah, get some treatment, get some rest. Try not to put on too many pounds, yeah.
Is it, you're on the little steel wheel all the way through from really when you started because of the lockout and had to throw everything together at once. Is this really the first chance that you and the players and the other coaches have had to just take a break this maybe next 48 to 72 hours after today?
Yeah, I'd say the other ones have come in shorter windows. But, yeah, That's about right. I mean, it's the way it is every year, really. You start training camp, and you go until the bye week, and then you get a little window, and then you go the rest of the way. So.
Your oil change, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Get the Halloween decorations up. Yeah.
Is that your favorite? That's got to be your favorite holiday.
Pretty good. Candy and costumes. How can you beat that?
The scrimmage yesterday. Does it help to get things kind of heated up in practice a little bit? I mean, you guys are going out, you know, 5 day or something, break, whatever it is. Does it help to send them into that to get a little heated, kind of game like intensity like that?
I don't know. I think that's what we were trying to do yesterday. We were trying to work on situations, so we got a lot of them. I think there were some good things that came up. Good for the coaches to think about them. Good for the players to think about them. Good for us to try to do the things that we would do in those situations. In some cases, we didn't do them quite the way we would want to do them. So hopefully we got that corrected this morning.
You know, these situations that you guys didn't do as well as you'd like in the past, whatever, how many games, or is this stuff you foresee coming, may run into in the future?
It's really a lot of random stuff. We just kind of played. So whatever happened, happened. We just had to react to whatever the play before was. Something happened, then here we are. If it's 3rd and 20, it's 3rd and 20. It's 3rd and 1, it's 3rd and 1. What will we do? You know, just whatever came up, came up.
How much of this bye week do you take to do some advanced scouting on teams that you've had 9 and 10, the Giants and the Jets?
Yeah, not too much. I mean, we advance scout everybody. We have people in our organization that work on not this week's opponent, but next week's opponent, but starting this week, so that when we finish with that game, we have, you know, a lot of information that's already prepared. The film's broken down. The reports are written on personnel and tendencies, and we have individual. Reports and films of each individual player, how they play, their strengths, their weaknesses, their tendencies, things like that. So that's already there. So we do that on a weekly basis anyway. So next week we'll start working on the team after Pittsburgh the next week. But we kind of have that weekly time by certain people in our organization. They're always a week ahead. And then there are others of us who are focused on the week that we have and really don't get to that next team until we're done with the team we're currently competing against. So it's now will some of those people maybe get a little bit ahead of getting ahead? You know, I'm sure they will. You know, but that's kind of how it works. So we're in sort of the same routine every week.
We didn't see Tom out there yesterday. Assuming he was he given the day off, and was it precautionary just to give him a rest?
I don't know. Was he out there yesterday?
Well, that's for the window we were out there. We didn't see him.
Yeah, I didn't take a roll, so I don't know. The guys that were out there were out there. The ones that weren't.
Don't stand there with the checklist like we do.
Yeah. Well, only on the days where we have to file it, then we'll file it appropriately. But since yesterday wasn't one of those days, then some guys were out at the beginning, some guys went in, some guys came out later. I mean, I don't know.
There ever any days when you're jealous of us?
Yeah, most days.
I did want to ask about how things have changed, because you mentioned on the radio the other day about the post-game handshake and the way the shelf life for very innocuous stories can explode. And does it make it more difficult for you to have a relationship, whether it be with the media in general in these situations? Or how has the whole dynamic changed media-wise from even the 80s when you were the Giants?
We don't have time for a long answer like that, so I don't know. You know, look, I mean, it's the way of the world. We're all living in it, so.
The true football fans suffer sometimes.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. I don't know. look, I'm not here to solve the world's problems. I'm just trying to coach a football team, see if we can get ready and beat Pittsburgh and have a couple productive days on the bye week. So, you know, those philosophical questions are... Am I really into solving the world's problems than the one I'm on? With all due respect, Tom, I just can't. You're asking more than I have.
When it comes to the self-scouting that you guys and a lot of teams do during bye weeks, what does that involve? And are you involved with that, with pen and film room, watching the brain sit down?
Well, you know, again, I think that's I think it's a little misconception. We don't just self-scout during the bye week. You know, we do it on a weekly basis. We look at the games that we feel like our opponents are looking at, but whatever that constitutes, and we kind of say, okay, what are they seeing? And does that affect what we want to do? Do we want to change that? Do we want to not change it? And if we do want to change it, how do we want to change it? So that's something that you do every week. The bye week, you have a little bit more time. Maybe if you wanted to not just look at the description of the plays or a written report of the plays, maybe actually go to those plays and say, okay, not what do they have on paper, but all right, let me just actually go look at the plays and see what's happening on, you know, our third down or our inside runs or our outside runs or our kickoff returns or whatever it is. But you have you have an awareness of that on a weekly basis anyway. You know what you've been doing the last couple of weeks, and you definitely sit down at some point during the week and look at that. You know, how many times have we called this in this situation? How many times? What's our run-pass breakdown? What's our blitz breakdown? How many, you know, left returns have we run? How many right returns have we run? What tendencies are we forming? And again, tendencies are like anything else. You know, when it's 50-50, 60-40, 65-35, you know, how hard can you bank on 60-40? You know, but when it's 90% or 95% that certain things are happening, then, you know, now you're getting, that's pretty predictable. So, and again, you would think that, And sometimes it's okay. You know, sometimes it's kind of okay to everybody, look, Nolan Ryan's on the mound. He's going to throw a fastball. I mean, you know, that's no secret. You know, and is he better off throwing a fastball than a changeup? Yeah. So he's going to throw a fastball. Let's see who can hit it. I mean, I don't say you have to change up all the time. You just got to know what you're doing. You know, you want to say, okay, they know it's coming. It's our best thing. We're going to do it anyway. Let's see if they can stop it. You know, that's all right. But you just got to know what you're doing. You know, and if you say, well, you know, we think they're not going to adjust to it, and then they do because it's something you do all the time, then, you know, you don't want to put yourself in that position. So, but it's not something that just happens during the bye week. It happens every week. Could you take a little longer look at it during the bye week? Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good thing to do, but it's something that we do on a weekly basis.
Obviously, the message is different for different players, but is there something specifically that you tell the rookies before they take off for a couple days during the bye week?
Yeah, actually, I met with the rookies this morning for about 40 minutes, so, you know, we told them quite a few things. But, you know, it's just different for them. It's a different experience. What they did in college and what happens in college relative to an NFL season is just, you know, different. It's the kind of thing you can't really prepare for. You just have to go through it and experience it, but just try to talk to the players about some of the things that they could expect, some things that they might experience in future weeks. You know, we've had players talk to them along those same lines, guys that have, you know, players that have been through it. Yeah, here's what the coaches are telling you, and then, you know, here's what a couple of my experiences were. Might be helpful for them, you know, to hear those or let them ask questions, that kind of thing. So we do that on a pretty regular basis anyway, whether it's start a training camp, begin a regular season, bye week, you know. We've spent a lot of time with the rookies, you know, trying to help them acclimate themselves to a new area, a different working environment, a different, you know, team structure than whatever structure they were on before. Not that anybody else's is that are worse than ours. I'm not saying that, but ours is what it is, and they have to understand it and be able to utilize
it. It is what it is.
Opportunities and tools that we give them to try to, you know, help improve themselves on and off the field, in and out of football. So it's, you know, it's a pretty extensive thing. But yeah, we do it on a regular basis. But we, yeah, matter of fact, we did do it today. I think that's a message for any professional athlete pretty much any day. You know, from the day they become a professional athlete, things change and they carry that with them, you know, wherever they go, whether it's the bye week or any other week. So, yeah, sure, you know, so those things are part of it. But I think they, once they're drafted or once they sign a professional contract, to me it changes a little bit. You know, along those lines, sure.
Bill, what do you remember of the former Bills center, Kent Hall? I'm not sure if you know, he passed away yesterday.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I'm sorry.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. You know, he was one of the, you know, one of the key guys in that K-Gun offense. It was a good, I mean, they had a good offensive line, Hall, you know, Fina. So, you know, solid guy there, played there for, you know, I don't know how many years, but quite a few. Yeah, a dozen years, whatever, 10 years. So, yeah, solid guy. Hate to hear that. Good to have him out there. Yeah, it's great to have him out there. And I know they're excited to be out there, too. They've been working hard. And so... good to, you know, get him on the field and get him working with the rest of the team. So, get another day today and, you know, see where they get. But, yeah, it's good. Good to see him. All right, well, have a good weekend. All right, we'll see you next week.
Get the hell out of here. Anyway, head coach Bill Belichick earlier today. And, you know, about the typical responses you might expect, and with the bye week coming up. Anyway, we're going to reset right here. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. My question I pose to you is, which player in the NFL outside of the Patriots do you hate? Which, and again, excluding the Patriots, which do you love? A couple of interesting emails. We'll get to them when I get back. And also another interesting one from Tiff about Rex Ryan. He opened his fat mouth again today and stuck his big fat foot and his wife's foot back in his mouth with these ridiculous comments. Thanks to Tiff for sending me. I'll let you know what he said coming up when the Pete Shepherd Show continues on Patriots.com.
Hey, guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey there, back here. Final segment of Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. We're going to hear from Wes Welker just a little bit. Still taking your emails and phone calls. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Also, you can Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D, and call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Liam from Dublin Island says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Favorite play would have to be Nnamdi Asamoah. As for players, I can't stand Rivers. He won't shut the hell up on the field. And I also hate Cartland Finnegan just because he looks and acts like a rat. Regards, Liam from Dublin, Ireland. P.S. Fred sucks. Oh, that's not nice. Oh, take it up with Fred. Take it up with Fred. Tiff from Wisconsin sends another interesting email. Now, this is unbelievable. Jets coach Rex Ryan's Super Bowl boasts no longer are confined to his predictions for the future. On Wednesday, this is from Pro Football Talk, by the way. On Wednesday, Ryan said that if the Chargers had hired him to coach in 2007, he would have led the Chargers to at least two championships by now. Well, I quote from Rex, I think I would have had a couple of rings. And again, remember, the Jets are playing San Diego this week, so that's why he's talking. Well, I think I would have had a couple of rings, Ryan told San Diego reporters, according to a reporter from the New York Daily News. I'm telling you, those teams were loaded. Implicit in Ryan's message is that North Turner has failed to get the most out of that loaded team, which isn't exactly the best way to keep Turner from rolling his sleeves up a little higher and working a little harder to come to New York on Sunday and beat Rex's Jets. Perhaps realizing that he stepped in a pile of something that, other than dead leaves, Rex tried to scrub his shoes a little bit. Quote, obviously, North Turner has done a great job there, and AJ and everybody, Ryan said. That's a great franchise. He was probably the best guy for the job at that time. By the way, AJ Smith, a graduate of my alma mater, Bishop Hendricken High School in Rhode Island. If Rex thinks he would have won a couple of Super Bowls in the four seasons since Norv was hired, Rex necessarily doesn't think Norv was the best guy for the job unless the goal of the game is not to win Super Bowls. Rex Ryan, I mean, this is what I'm talking about with him. This kind of stuff. You got to be nuts. Why would you even go down that road? You don't say things like that. You know, now San Diego, which I think would have won the game by double digits, now might win by, you know, triple digits. Seriously. Why would you, why doesn't he get it? And I know we keep saying he's not going to change and stuff, but he has to. Not that he has to change, but just tone it down a little bit. You can't say, I mean, if he doesn't think this puts a lot of pressure, if you're Mark Sanchez right now, you're pooping your pants. You don't want to have that added pressure. It's bad enough they suck, but now they have the added pressure of the coach putting, you know, putting more pressure on him by ripping the other team's coach. That's what this is. It's nothing but ripping the North Turner, which, you know, I'm not saying he's not right, but you don't say that. There's a certain etiquette that you don't cross. And he did it again. Unbelievable. Rex Ryan, unbelievable. So check that on profootball.com. God, I'm telling you, that is just amazing. Thanks, Tiff, for sending that. Mary Beth said, I love being contestant in the bi-week game show on Patriots.com radio with John Rook and Pete Shepard. Even if I didn't win, you guys make my Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. Thank you. Mary Beth, you are quite the trooper. Great lady. A lot of fun today with you. Again, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. When the hell is Rex Ryan going to learn? And then this is why he's never going to win anything, am I? He's never going to win anything. You know, 20 years from now, he'd be going, Rex Ryan, yeah, guy, pretty good defensive coach, didn't he get to the AFC Championship? And, you know, I just don't think they'll ever be Super Bowl head coach and attached next to Rex Ryan's name. I just don't. I mean, how do you not get that? How do you not get that? You don't go saying stuff like that, that you would have won champ. First of all, yeah, 2007, yeah. The day the Chargers came here after that stupid Spygate crap and the Patriots mauled them by three touchdowns. I think it was 38-17. Yeah, Rex Ryan. Yeah, you had a chance that year. Please. Stop embarrassing yourself and embarrassing your organization. I know you think you're, that you're just not vulnerable to any of this and that you're just going to keep doing your thing. You're Rex Ryan. You're not going to change for anybody. Well, you know, at least then just keep your mouth shut about certain things. You don't say that if you were coaching a team back in a certain day that you would have won championships when that guy is still coaching that team. That makes no sense to me. Absolutely none. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Back to more of your emails coming up in just a second. But now we're going to head back out. Let's see what, here's what Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker had to say earlier today.
Back to Oklahoma City for a few days and see the family and hang out there and do some of that. So just a couple days and then heading back here.
What's it do for you?
It is. It's kind of unheard of around here. So it's really kind of nice to get away and kind of relax a little bit and kind of refresh for the second part of the season.
Does it come at a good time for you?
Is football completely out of your mind during that time, or do you still kind of find a way to pick up the ball or scout it at all?
You know, I think you kind of put it out of the mind for a few days. I mean, it's just so much every single day of football, and so it's kind of nice to get a few days to just kind of relax and spend time with family and friends and just kind of get away from it for a few days.
Is it coming at a good time for you physically?
I think the answer to that, no matter where you are in the season, would be yes. You know, not only from physical standpoint, but mental standpoint a lot of times. And it's kind of nice to get a little few days to kind of relax and get away.
How tough is it to walk that line when you're away to kind of get that downtime and to kind of separate yourself from the game, but at the same time keep that in the back of your mind? I got to stay on point when we're in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I think you know, it's not like spring break like we're in college or anything like that. It's more of a, you know, everybody, you know, understanding you're still got to go work out and still do some of those things, but not, you know, not out there running routes and doing all those things that you do on a daily basis, but making sure you're still getting a lot of rest and a lot of sleep and not staying out late and doing some of those things and really kind of take advantage of the time.
Hey, Wesley, I understand you guys aren't satisfied with how you played, but is it satisfying to be 5-1 right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to be in the position we're in, and there's still a long ways to go, so by no means have we, won the division or even close to it or anything like that. So we're still a long ways off of where we need to be, and we'll take these few days to relax and then really get back to work and make around the second half of the season.
Do you usually watch games when you're not, like, I don't know, when you have a Monday night game, for instance, you watch a Sunday game, so you're not free to watch them?
I do. I'll watch them and kind of just relax and kind of watch the games and things like that, but if I have something I have to do, it's not like I'm TiVoing it or anything like that. If it's on, then I'll watch it. If not, then I don't.
Not sure if you've seen, but your coach and quarterback tied Shula and Marino for most wins by a coach and quarterback. After being around those guys for a while, some of the things that you can pick out that have allowed them to be that successful as a duo?
Obviously just the commitment that both of them have. You know, Coach Belichick, I don't think there's been one time when I've parked my car here and his car hadn't been in a spot. So, you know, he's constantly here, trying to help us and make us better. And then Tom, you know, he's Tom and always trying to find a way to do something better as far as, you know, eating, more flaxseed or, you know, whatever it is. He's always trying to find a way to improve out there on the field.
Hey Wes, what was yesterday's scrimmage like? You usually don't see mid-season rain practice scrimmages. What was it like?
It's definitely a little different, but it was good. It was nice to see, even those walkthrough pace and everything like that. It was good to get in some different situations where, some of those plays and key plays towards the end and how you handle those situations really determine the outcome of the game. In the NFL, there's always going to be close games, and you got to be ready for whatever situations come up.
So it wasn't like full intensity season in-game scrimmage type deal. It was more like a mental kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a little more mental. I mean, we just played a game on Sunday, so come back 2 days, you know, it'd be asking a lot to guys, you know, have any sort of burst out there or anything, but I'm sure we'll have to get after a little bit today.
Kevin Bertrand got hurt yesterday. What's it like to have a fellow veteran, you know, and have a similar injury get back out there, you know, at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin's been such a great player here for such a long time, and you know, not only great in the locker room, but out there on the field, and he's been so clutch throughout his career, and you know, adding him back and his knowledge of the game and how good he is so big for us, and so it's always great to have Kevin out there on the field and have that trust, and I know Tom has, and everybody else who's been around, you know, Kevin for the past year or so, and know what kind of player he is and how he can help us.
Wes, what do you like about the offense so far in general, and what would you like to see you guys do better after get back from the bye?
I think we're doing all right as far as scoring points and doing some of those things. Obviously, this last game wasn't our greatest performance, but I think we got to get better on, you know, turnovers and scoring in the red area. And I think those are two areas that we can definitely improve on and do a better job. And and understand the situations and do better them and come away with points and at the same time keep the ball in our possession and then once we get down there, score.
Is there ever a time when you're down by, let's say, 6 points or less, you get the ball with 2 minutes left, that you ever doubt to come back and score and go ahead just like you did last week?
Well, I think if you ever sit there and doubt it, you're probably, it's probably not going to happen. So you always try and go out there with a positive attitude that, you know, you got to make some plays and make things happen and make sure we score here at the end of the drive and try and win the game.
All right, there you have it, Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker and his thoughts. He's going to head back out to Oklahoma City and visit the fam for a little while. A lot of these guys will be traveling the next couple of days, deservedly so, because after the bye week, then it really, really becomes, you know, buckle down, batten down the hatchets. And I think you got to be happy. You got to be happy, folks, overall, 5-1, just one little blip on the radar, you know, and they still nearly pulled that one out. So it's great. It'll be a nice few days off and then get ready for the Steelers in a week from Sunday. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PeteSHEPPARD. Again, in case you missed it, I asked earlier about some of you, what player in the NFL that you hate the most, and what player in the NFL do you like the most? That is a non-Patriot, so if you want to chime in over the next couple of minutes before we get out of here for a Wednesday, let me know. And Tiff from Wisconsin threw a nice story at me from Pro Football Talk about Rex Ryan opening his fat mouth again. Said, quote, "I think I would have had a couple of rings," he told San Diego reporters. "I'm telling you, those teams were loaded." Talking about the 2007 San Diego Chargers. Just not a very intelligent thing to do. So, you know, is North Turner going to hit the gas pedal against him this week if he has a chance? I think he will. Why wouldn't you? You know? Why wouldn't you? If Rex Ryan ever comes out and says anything about, if Rex Ryan ever said anything about they shouldn't run up the score or any of that kind of crap or any of that stuff for any team, he'll really become off as a fraud. I think he's half a fraud anyway. I don't doubt his defensive coaching talents, that stuff, but he's not Belichick. He's not, you know, he's not going to be regarded as one of the all-time greats. He just isn't. He keeps making these ridiculous, opening his mouth, and he hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. You know, I mean, was he the first coach to get the two AFC championships and lose? No, there's lots of coaches that have done that. I don't know how you keep, it just amazes me. I mean, can you imagine if Bill Belichick ever said that? What if Bill said that about Mike Tomlin this week? Oh, if I had coached the Steelers against the Patriots, Steelers would have got a couple of Super Bowls. You know, or Bill Cowher had said that about Cowher. I mean, it's just stupid. Dumb. Absolutely dumb. Your thoughts at webradio@patriots.com, or you can, again, Facebook me or Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Tomorrow, again, will be the final show, Pete Shepard Show, for this week. And, again, I'll be taking a few days off next week. I'll be off actually all next week because I am headed to Jamaica to get married, believe it or not. It's going to be a lot of fun to my lovely fiancée, Elaine, who's just spectacular. So I can't wait. Looking forward to it. Gets a lot of friends and some family coming. So I'm very, very excited. It's going to be a great time. Looking forward to it a lot. Also, again, I want to thank Michael Smith over at the Algonquin Club in Boston for another just a great time, not only last night in the room. I was in like this suite. But the history and nostalgia of that place was unbelievable. And we had a nice breakfast this morning, nice little breakfast seminar, myself and Tom Curran and about 50 other guests who came and asked a lot of questions. And it was very fun and entertaining and informative, I hope, for everybody. And it was great meeting a lot of new people. Also, remind everybody real quick about tonight, charity poker event that I always play in. My buddy Craig Bradford at Helping Hands does a great job. It's the Wednesday weekly deep stack, $25 satellites at 6 o'clock, and a $90 main event at 7:15, and $15,000. It's basically $100 for 20,000 in chips. It's a great starting stack for $100. The first 20 players play a satellite for free one per player. And the American Legion Post 18 at 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham. That's right behind the Tahiti restaurant across from the VFW. Hope to see you guys there again. 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham at the American Legion Post 18. You want to play in a great poker tournament, well run. You know, if you're thinking of coming in, if you haven't played, it's going to be at your buddy's house and you're going to show cards and do all that stuff. You know, that's not that way. He follows all the rules. Great free food. Reasonably priced drinks, all that stuff. It's a great time, so hope to see you guys there. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com between 4 and 6 p.m., and you might have a surprise guest or two. You might have a surprise guest or two tomorrow. Kevin will probably work on something. We'll get something going tomorrow. Before B-Lo's getting married this weekend. Wow. Unbelievable. Great. Too bad he couldn't get married right on the field, no? Like right before?
Should have got married on the show.
Oh, yeah, that'd go over great.
That'd be great. We could have had the procession right in here.
Great, yeah. And then the ESPN studio next door, we go in there and have the reception. Beautiful. Absolutely. That's what you want. That's memorable. Unbelievable.
Could have Subway cater to the reception?
Oh, absolutely. Why not? You know, just bring in 50 those giant, 10-foot-long subs that they make.
Be all set.
Absolutely. I want to thank all the callers and all the emailers today. Thanks to John Rook having me on his show early. That was a lot of fun with the Match Game Show. Tomorrow we'll do some more fun stuff. I'll come up with some ideas and maybe a guest or two. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night, everybody. See if Rex Ryan can say something even more dumb tomorrow. Dumber tomorrow after what he said. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so we move on. All right, have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday. Enjoy and drive safe. It's pouring rain outside. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Bye-bye.